Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 30th of December, 2021. Much like last Thursday, this is the last show this week. I will see all of you again in the new year. As is tradition, also, much like last week and many Thursdays before that, with me today, I have Dr. Mac. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Not too bad. How about you?
Very well, thanks.
All right. Well, so to start with, we have an update on a previous item
because we
talked about, briefly, we talked about vegan leather.
I promised to research vegan leather because I was sure that was an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp.
Yes.
Or military intelligence, right? So, I did the research. And guess what? I'm still not positive because according to PETA, it's the greatest thing since leather. The people for the ethical treatment of animals, right?
Yes.
But then you'd expect them. They have a horse in the race. And then if you look elsewhere, it might not be the most environmentally friendly thing to produce.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's worse than real leather, but it's not good. It's okay. Made out of plastics and petroleum products and
more
stuff.
Or less. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
So, and by the way, yes, it is also sometimes known as pleather.
Mm-hmm.
Or faux leather or faux leather or things like that. It's been around since the 19th century.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
invented by the Germans when leather became scarce, I guess. They invented a artificial material from what they had, which apparently was petroleum products.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Okay.
Well, so there's your answer. Not very authoritative, but.
Well, but if you're looking for something environmentally friendly, then depending on what value of environmentally friendly you're looking for, it may or may not be vegan leather is basically what.
No, you should probably just run around naked because that's got the least impact environmentally. And you don't have to wash your clothes. All right. Let's talk about Monterey.
Okay. Let's do that instead.
Before we get off the rails too far.
I was going to say, we're off the rails. It's just a matter of how far at this point.
Whenever I write about Monterey, I mean, whenever I write about an operating system and say I wouldn't install it yet if I were you,
mm-hmm.
then until I write about it again and say, you know, it's probably safe to install it, people keep emailing me and saying, is it safe? Is it safe?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see the movie Marathon Man?
I was just going to point that out. Yes.
I know. And it's like, I get these emails and I think, okay, what do I say? Well, and so I had to think about it a little this week because version 12.1, the first bug fix, and, you know, later than usual, it was what, about 7 weeks, some 6 or 7 weeks between initial release and 12.1. Usually there's a bug fix pretty fast, but this one took a while. Anyway, so readers were asking, or listeners too, I guess, readers and listeners were asking, and I'll give you my answer, but first I'll tell you about the Monterey issues one more time so you know where we were coming from. Ready? This is a quick flashback. All right, we tried it all. Reboot, safe boot, disk utility, disk first aid, recovery, resetting NVRAM, resetting the SMC, running Onyx, disconnecting devices, replacing devices and cables, blah, blah, blah. It turned out, I'm pretty sure it was the USB hub or its cable.
Mm-hmm.
And everything worked fine under Catalina, but once I went to Monterey, things went very wonky, and it didn't stop until I replaced both hub and cable. So I'm guessing I had a marginal hub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And things have been pretty stable after that. And I, you know, monitored pretty closely the internets for signs that other people had upgraded to this new 12.1. And if there was any widespread, you know, weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see a lot. You know, there's some people still reporting being bricked on older Macs.
Mm-hmm.
But not really, you know, it doesn't seem like it's widespread and not really, you know, I don't think it's happening a lot.
Yeah, I think it's
from a lot of people who say everything went fine.
Well, and I think it happens occasionally on every version, honestly.
Yes.
Because there's too many combinations of things out there to test. There's a whole lot of older sort of setups, you know, and things like that. And like just yesterday on the show, we talked about how if you have a machine with a spinning drive in it with platters, a rotational hard drive, not an SSD, you probably shouldn't upgrade, you know, basically like not to anything that doesn't start with a 10, right? Mm-hmm. So like maybe you can do Catalina. It's sort of it might be aggravating, but it's not going to be a bad experience. And a lot of people who are having flat out bad times with a Big Sur upgrade or a Monterey upgrade or doing that on a spinning drive, and that's sometimes part of what can make it so frustrating. So
yeah,
there is that. Well, so keep that in mind.
I think there are people out there trying to install it on machines that aren't certified for installation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a recipe for disaster also.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I mean, that's not going to do you any good either.
There may be a hack that will let you do it, but it's not going to be a good idea no matter what you do.
Right. And
so don't do that.
Well, and if it goes wrong, nobody's going to help you. Like that's the other piece of it is like, you're not going to get assistance from whoever wrote the tool that makes it so that you can install this on an unsupported machine. And if you take it to the Genius Bar, they're not going to help you. So there's, you know, there it's supported or unsupported for a reason. And that doesn't mean it won't work. It just means it hasn't been basically thoroughly vetted so that you have an option for getting help if you need it. It hasn't been, you know, thoroughly tested and documented and all that kind of stuff. So it's not like you can't, but if you do, don't expect a ton of assistance if it all goes wrong. That's really where it's
at. A ton? Don't expect any.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to find someone else in a forum that goes, "That's a bummer, dude. Same thing happened to me." You know, and that's it.
So to put the train back on the tracks here, I think... I was trying to make this point. Ready?
Yes.
When you make your upgrade, hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It took me more than 2 weeks of troubleshooting with my Mac crashing and freezing all the time, like many times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really irritating and frustrating. And fortunately, I'm old and don't work all that much anymore. It wasn't like it was preventing a ton of work, but whenever I wasn't working, I was trying to figure out why my Mac would just freeze or go black in the middle of typing something.
Yeah. When you weren't working, you were trying to figure out why your Mac wasn't working. Yeah.
Well, it took 2 weeks, and if it wasn't that I had a spare Mac around, I think I would have really been frustrated because I can do stuff with an iPad and an iPhone, but I really like a real keyboard. And I guess I could hook one up to an iPad, but it's still not the same.
It's
anyway,
not.
While I was able to do most of my work while I figured out what was wrong, it was frustrating and not pretty. And, you know, I wouldn't wish it on somebody I hate. So when you do a major upgrade to Mac OS, it's likely there's going to be unexpected consequences, and they can take days or even more weeks to resolve. And so, as we've mentioned before, right here on this very podcast, we think it's a good idea to leave plenty of time to troubleshoot if things do go wrong. I suggest starting on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
That way, assuming you work a regular work week, that way you have all day Saturday and all day Sunday to troubleshoot and get things running before Monday morning and real work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my advice. If you're going to do it when you have lots of free time in front of you, just in case. With any luck at all, it'll go great and you can spend that free time, I don't know, dancing, bowling, traveling, whatever.
Yeah, doing something else.
And anyway. Since this is our last podcast of the year, of the week too,
yeah.
I'd like to wish all our listeners a happy, healthy, and prosperous New Year's. And I want to, I've always wanted to say this, but, you know, no, I'm not going to do it. Go ahead. I'm not going to screw up my record because I might get it wrong. I might like screw up the whole thing.
Okay. Right then. Well, Bob, thanks so much. If I recall correctly, we spun this up as a thing to do in 2021. So it's only been this year that we've had Thursdays with Bob as a thing. And I have enjoyed it a lot. We can talk about like the year in review a tiny bit.
It's been a great year.
It's been a lot of fun here. Anyway,
on this podcast, at least, I mean, it's been a fun year.
I'll give you that much. And we've talked about a lot of stuff. We've covered a lot of things, and I appreciate the opportunity to get and sit and chat with you about
including vegan leather. Who knew, right? And now we're like fully versed.
Yeah. And also vegan leather.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit because on an earlier episode, a couple of earlier episodes, actually, of Daily Observations, we did one where Andrew and Charlotte gave me their iOS picks, or they gave me iPhone picks.
For the year?
iPhone app picks. Yeah, okay. And then Brian and I did macOS picks, iPadOS picks. I'll get it right, I promise. We did an episode with iPhone apps, and we did an episode of iPad apps. So if you have anything that you would like to add to either of those lists, or if there's some Mac app that is blowing you away right now, then by all means, let fly. And I know that this is very on the spot, but this is very much a... the thing that you're using very much that you really like should be.
I gave this a lot of thought because at the end of the year, I always think maybe I should do one of those year in review kind of columns and talk about the best things and worst things that I experienced this year tech wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I couldn't think of any best things. So I didn't write a column about it. And, you know, I was looking through all the apps I use, and really, there's nothing that's relatively new.
It doesn't have to be new. It was just, we just talked about what we use the most, you know, this year.
What we use the most?
Yeah.
I use mail the most and messages. So, you know.
Okay.
I guess the fact that I have talking and emojis, you know, that I can appear to you as poop speaking is my favorite thing, but that wasn't new. I've been doing that for years.
Okay. All right then.
I don't know. I kind of like the new Focus stuff. I think that's pretty cool. The whole Focus ecosystem, being able to, you know, have granularity about who can disturb you when you're doing what.
Yeah,
it's been very useful.
Yeah. One of the things that I think doesn't get as much attention as it should when it comes to focus mode is that you can have, if you lay out your apps on your phone in a particular way, you can make it so that those pages of apps don't even show. So like if you use your personal phone for work stuff, but you want to have a focus that's only your personal stuff, you know, when it's personal time, you can have that page of work apps just not appear. Now, if you need them, they're still in the app library, but it's not something that's going to just show up as part of your, you know, part of your phone that's just kind of hanging out. So
when we got all that capability, I went down to, I have one page of icons.
Mm-hmm.
I have folders, and
yes,
everything that I use is on one page, either in folders or right on the front page, and that's it. All the rest are in the app library and can be accessed if necessary, but organizing them into work and play or something like that would be way too much work. I just hid everything except the stuff I use regularly.
Yeah.
Which I could squeeze onto one screen, by the way. I was very happy to find that, pretty much everything I need can fit on one screen.
Yeah, I kind of have the opposite.
Well, I used to have the opposite. I was at 14 pages of apps.
Oh no, I wasn't ever that far, but I put an awful lot of thought into my app layout, and like, here's the one, like, here are the things that, when I get in the car, I want to turn on music and things like that. So those are on the right side because that's the stuff I can hit with my right thumb, because that's the only time I ever use my phone in my right hand is when I get in the car, because then I set it in the cup holder and ignore it till I get where I'm going. And, you know, the stuff that I actually use all the time has to be in the lower left because I can hit it with my thumb. You know, when I'm using my phone one handed, I can hit it with my thumb no matter what. Those are the things that are there. So, yeah, I have really overthought it. So there you go. So yeah, that is kind of the opposite of that. So as I said at the beginning of the show, this is it for us for the year. So I hope everyone has a wonderful New Year's or just extended weekend if that's a thing that you get. And that should do it for us. So Bob, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks. Well, thanks so much for today and for the year. And we're going to continue this into 2022 as well. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I'm going to continue this into 2022 as well. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.